Now, these works play homage to the use of a viewmaster.
I think it's more than homage. It's that they do use viewmasters.
They use the actual viewmaster. So you have the viewmaster to create this film experience. So how did you come up with that idea?
Well, I've been creating my own handmade viewmasters for a while, but I would say they were kind of just objects for people to look at. And then I was asked to be part of the PDX Film Festival here in Portland, and I needed to come up with a performance, turn it into a performance. So I decided that I would add a soundtrack to the kind of the little images that had been stories previously. And the way that it works is that it's kind of like a read-along storybook. There's a narrator telling a story, and there's ding noises, and then the audience hears ding noises and turns and sees the next picture.
So how do you make the images that go onto this?
Well, 3D images are made by, to make a 3D image, you're actually looking at two images. There's one that your left eye is seeing and one that your right eye is seeing. The reason that we see 3D is that we have two eyes pointed in the same direction, and each one is seeing a slightly different perspective. And so if you want to recreate a 3D vision, you have to make a person's left eye be seeing a slightly different image from their right eye. So as I'm photographing these, I'm taking a picture, then I'm sliding my camera to the right and taking another picture. And then when you're looking through the viewmaster, your left eye is seeing one picture and your right eye is seeing the other picture.
So you actually take photographs that you then make into this small format and paste onto a viewmaster. Is that right?
Yeah, yeah.
I think that's such exciting. It's an exciting thing. And then while they're being performed, you have people with these symbols or signals click forward, and then they are all staying on the same image as you're moving them forward. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. And so they're getting this kind of little private viewing experience at the same time that they're having a public viewing experience.
How does the sound work with the image?
How does it work? Well, it's a CD. I've had a couple. The band won't be here for the performance in Minneapolis, but sometimes I have for the most recent one that I've done, Acteon at Home. There's a live band that sometimes plays and leads people through the story, and they have the bell is incorporated into the music for that one. But otherwise, there's a narrator, there's sound effects, there's some background music. And it just plays, and then people, I was actually pretty amazed. My first show worked. I wasn't sure if people would get it and be turning at the right time and stuff, but it seems to work out very well. People are good at doing what they're told.
But you write the stories as well. Can you tell us a little bit about the stories, the pieces that you're going to be presenting at the Walker?
Yeah, the first one, Lucifugia Sigmataxis, is about a cockroach. It stars some real dead cockroaches. And it's about a cockroach. His name is Stanley, and he lives underneath the refrigerator. And then one day he decides to go out and explore the wider world. And it's about the sort of tragic misadventures that happen in his explorations. The second one, which is called The Book Life of Jeremiah Barnes, is about the discovery of a huge number of steam shovels in the middle of the forest and trying to figure out who put them there and why. And that one is all told with little tiny plastic steam shovels and HO scale model railroad men who are about maybe 3/4 of an inch tall. And the third one is called Acteon at Home, and kind of set around the turn of the century. And it's about a man who seems to be being attacked by the things that he's put into his home.
How long is each one?
They're each about 10 minutes. The third one is maybe more like 8 minutes.
Okay, so do people switch and put in a second viewmaster reel?
Yeah, there's actually, each one of them takes place over the course of 4 discs. So they'll be changing discs 4 times in the course of each story.
So it's been quite a project to create the discs, I would think.
Yeah, it's an ongoing, continuous project. I spend an hour or two a day making them because I also sell them, so I'm always selling them and needing to replenish the stock.
So tell me about the distribution of how you get these out into the world.
The smartest thing I did was make a website. who's been very helpful. And then I just have had a lot of stores. A few of them I've solicited, but most of them have contacted me. And they tend to be kind of small independent stores that focus on handmade products. And I think I've got about 17 stores all across the country and then one in England that sell them now.
And I think that's about all the questions that we have. But do you want to say anything about just your interest in small format and just using, because this is really small format?
I think my main interest in small format comes from the fact that I'm not a very good collaborator. So I really like to be able to control all the aspects of what I'm working on. And if you're working, you know, on a tabletop, it's a lot easier to have you be the person that's setting up the lights and you be the person that's positioning everything. And then the other thing is that I like to make small things important. I think small things are often overlooked. So, and I also think that when you're doing macro photography on kind of little toys and things, they have a really, really unique look when you're looking at them.
Well, thank you very much. One last thing before we let you go, though. You talk about when you're talking about doing things by yourself, and what about collaboration with the people who compose the music?
Yeah, well, the thing is that I'm tone deaf. I'm very, like, music is very opaque to me. So that's the one thing where I feel like I just sort of find people that I trust and whose kind of style of working with music I think will fit well with what I'm looking for. And kind of just let them do whatever they'd like to do, and then usually it turns out great. So I can sort of collaborate in a very hands-off way, but it wouldn't work out if I had somebody else who was working with me in the photography process.